Today, I do want to talk on a topic of stress. And it's one of those things where I think we're all affected by in one way or the other. And it's actually really stressing me out right now that I have to speak on stress. Because you know how people say one of the greatest fears, some of the greatest fears that people have is public speaking and death. And I, to be honest with you, my stress level when I'm about to public speak is at about 10. If there's 1 to 10, it's about 10, 9, 10. So it's not my, you know, you may look at me like, well, you know, it looks normal, but it's stressful to stand up here and speak in front of people. Now, maybe some of you guys have the same stress. Some of you could just come up here and just talk, but that's one of my high stresses that I have in life. And there's different shapes and forms of stresses. We all go through stress at times in life. And I've actually learned of a good friend of mine back home in Serbia. This was a while back. Passed away. And then later, we tried to realize what he passed away from. He was a young gentleman that passed. He had a heart attack at a very young age, and he passed away. And everybody is saying that he was so stressed about life and what was happening around him that they actually assigned to him that he passed away from stress. That was the first time that I actually heard of someone close dying from stress. And then I have some family members that have gone to the doctors and gone, you know, they have multiple medical issues and stuff like that. And the doctor, usually, when you ask them what it is, they can't really pinpoint what it is. They will say, well, it's from the stress. You have too much stress, and therefore it's causing your body to, you know, get sick. So I've heard people dying from it. I've heard people getting sick from it. And I thought, you know what? I think this would be a good topic to speak on and really to think about what does Bible say about stress. And then recently, believe it or not, you go to bed sometimes and you wake up in the middle of a night and you just have all these thoughts going through your mind. You may relate. You wake up at like, let's say 4 a.m. and you can't go back to bed because you got just, mind is racing, early hours. You want to go back to bed, but you can't. And then even if you do go back to bed because of all the things going through your mind, is you don't get good sleep. Whatever sleep you get after, if you try to go back to sleep, I usually don't. It's like, you know, it's not a good quality sleep, right? So you're, whether it happens in the morning or sometimes even during the day where you just kind of like, you just can't rest. You have too many things going on. And sometimes I look at people and look at myself. I may cover it pretty well when people look at me and say, I had a friend of mine made a comment, you know, I look at you and you're never stressed. Well, that's not true. I'm always stressed. I'm always thinking about something, but I've managed to respond to stress in a different way. And sometimes you meet people, you see people, and you just hang out with them, and you almost see it on their face. You see that they're stressed. They're physically showing it on their face. They're going around their life, and they're showing that they're stressed. And then you try to have a conversation with them to see what stresses they're going through. But stress is a part of everyone's life. We all go through it, and I know if I asked you if you've stressed recently, just over the past week, at least once, you would all raise your hands. Stress is something that we all go through. It's a part of our life. And at times, life can be overly stressful. So that's why the title of my message is not how not to stress, but how to stress less. And how does that all work together? And how I'm going to share some scriptures that I hope will encourage you this morning. But if I was going to ask you a question, if you're going to have a coffee and I ask you, what are the things that are stressing you out? You probably could pinpoint a couple of things right away. At least three things that you could say, well, this, this, and this stresses me out. And then maybe to follow up that question with another question, how do you handle the stress when those things stress you out? What do you do? And I've had some conversations with some of the friends and people, and we had a guys group that meets this last Wednesday. We met, chatted with them and asked them how do they handle stress, and just trying to kind of feel how do people handle stress. And I realized that in many situations, we all handle it differently, and everybody sort of has a way. And not that there's a right way or good, there's a proper way or not proper way. There's different ways. There's something that the scripture tells us about stress, and actually, the scripture doesn't tell us much about stress. There's actually not a word stress in the Bible, but the word trouble, anxiety, and what's another word here? Well, trouble and anxiety are mentioned pretty well all across the scripture. Where was I? Asking, how do you handle stress? Well, a lot of people have different responses. So here's what I realized. When I personally stressed in my own, when I stress in my own life, I actually take things upon myself, things that I was never meant to carry. I put weight on myself that is weighing me down. And that's why you look at this gentleman here going with a huge backpack of weight, carrying the weight that I was not meant to carry. And then I realized in those situations when anxiety comes and the stress takes starting to settle in, I realized that I need to trust God more in this situation. That's usually what it is. The stress comes, and then I realize I need to trust God more. So just to give you a quick definition of stress in one sentence, it's a pressure or tension exerted on a material object. Somebody once said it, stress is a feeling of being overwhelmed. Being overwhelmed or unable to cope with mental or emotional pressure. So we all know that we're mind, body, and spirit. And with the Christian perspective, our spirit, when it's reborn, what happens with our spirit, it is able to impact and influence our body and our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. So stress is simply the feeling of being overwhelmed. And it's usually, like it says here, it's a set of external circumstances that happened around us, and they produce stress in us, and produce anxiety in us. And we all experience it. We all go through it. We're not immune to it because we live in this flesh. And this flesh that we live in is sinful. And if we operate out of flesh, we will most certainly get stressed. And then I realize a life of the spirit, life of the flesh, if we live according to the flesh, we will experience more stress. If we live according to the Spirit, we will experience, because the fruit of the Spirit is peace, we will be able to have this peace. And it's not any kind of peace. The Bible talks about this peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a supernatural peace that comes from above. So does that mean that when we stress, we kind of operate out of flesh? Yes, 100%. And it's not sinful, but it is fleshly. And it's not the state that God would want us to be in. So, I believe that God designed us all for a purpose and a plan. He designed us specifically, but He designed us to not live in stress and operate under stress at the very beginning. How do I know that? Well, God created Adam and Eve, and He told them, here's all of these things. Enjoy it, enjoy life, and they were in fellowship with God. But what basically changed, and one of the very first times that human experienced stress, was when Adam and Eve decided to step out of God's presence, take things in their own hands, and do what they thought was right. And then when they decided to step out of their relationship with God, they were designed to have in the first place, they experienced stress. So when they were with God, there was no stress. They stepped out of being with God, there was stress. There was fear. They started hiding from God, and they were in a panic mode. They were anxious. So looking at this situation really closely, I realized one thing. In God's presence, there is no stress. In God's presence, there is no stress. If you've ever been in God's presence and you know how to feel, how that feels like, there's no time to worry about anything else in life. When you're in God's presence, there's peace. So, is it possible that when we step out of God's presence, God's will, and God's plan for our life, that we can take, and we take our life in our own hands, that we exclude God and we experience stress? Yes, it is. And that's one of the main reasons why we, some people, live and walk in stress and worry. And we all go through this life, just like normal human beings, and we go through worry. So, there's two kinds of people in this world. There's people that stress. They people that stress, and then there's people that stress less and trust God. Whether it's young or old, whoever I talk to, with the rise of obviously things that we have technology available to us, 24/7 being bombarded with news and nonstop being immersed into what's happening in this world, we probably live in a time, the most stressful time ever. And then we have to learn as Christians to not just stress out, but to stress less, because we know that God has a plan. We know that we can trust God. So there's countless books, there's countless seminars, there's a whole bunch of things out there. I looked up online. There's unlimited amount of books on stress on Amazon that you could buy and you could read. And I've read some things about stress and anxiety in the past, and there's some good things there. You know, like they're just using psychological things, like for example, breathing, and that's a big part of de-stressing. I read about rubbing the fingers when you're stressed. The counselor would say, just sit there and just rub your fingers. Try to feel feel yourself, being in a moment. Being present, around your surroundings, naming things around your surroundings and stuff like that. All these things are not bad. They're not bad at all. But ultimately, what I've come to realize, entering God's presence is the biggest de-stressor moment for us that we can experience. Because in God's presence, there's no stress. So outside of God's presence, there's going to be unlimited amount of stress and anxiety and uncertainty. And in God's presence, there's going to be peace. Peace that comes from above. So, when we learn to stress less and trust God more, we learn to live according to God's plan and purpose, because that's what God designs us for. That's how He wants us to live. He wants us to live in His presence. He wants us to know that He has a plan, He has a purpose for us, and that we shouldn't be the ones carrying the load. But like He said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light, I give you this peace, have it, is what Jesus said. So, to go to the scriptures and just read a couple of verses, like I said, there's not a particular verse that talks about stress in particular, but there is verses that talk about anxiety, and we'll read that in a moment. But Jesus actually spoke about worry, which is basically stress. He talked about worry a lot, and he actually mentioned in his favorite Sermon on the Mount, he actually mentioned, he said, and one of the things that he pointed out, he said, do not worry about tomorrow. I know some of you are sitting here this morning or watching online, you're thinking, wow, all the things I got to start doing tomorrow. And this coming up week, there's so many things I'm going to have to do. And Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not stress about what tomorrow holds. Which means, be in the present moment, be content with where you are, and worry about right now. He says, and continues on to talk about, do not worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Don't you think that your Heavenly Father doesn't know that you need all these things? I mean, look at the flowers, look at the birds. They don't worry. They don't do anything, and they have all that they need. And isn't it funny that the biggest stresses of our life usually have to do with these things that Jesus mentioned here? You know, food, clothes, bills, mortgage, and everything else. And Jesus also talked about our effectiveness as Christians in one other passage. He talked about how there was a sower that was going to throw the seed, and then one seed fell on one ground, one seed fell on another ground, and then there was a seed that fell on the good soil, and that soil produced a lot of good fruit. But then the middle one that he threw, he was talking about throwing the seed among the thorns, and he described thorns as worries and cares of life. And Jesus says, these people have heard the word, they know it, they can read, name the Bible verse, they know all about what the Bible says, and they know about all these things, but they simply are too worried and too stressed out about the cares of this life, so therefore they lose their effectiveness and they don't make any difference. He talks about how this stress that these people experience, it can carry us away from living this life of impact and significance. And this word that's here used for worry and stress is actually, it means choke, suffocate, and throttle, which means, you know, there's people that have so much stress that they just have no time for things that matter, but they just have time, they're stressing about what's in front of them and things that they gotta do around them. So, Jesus talks about worries and anxieties, and then Apostle Paul talks about it as well. And I wanna read this verse in Philippians 4, 6 to 7, and this is what he says. Paul, writing from a prison, he says, do not worry about anything, instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. In another translation, the message, I love it the way it put it. It said this, before you know it, if you do all these things, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. That's the verse, the next verse. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. So, stress, wholeness. Anxiety, peace, the two opposites. And most stresses in our life are what's happening around us. Obviously, a lot of things that we can control and we try to control. But then there's some stress, obviously, that we self-impose on ourselves. And we, make certain mistakes. We do certain things. We maybe spend too much money, max our credit cards. We don't plan well. Planning is also a big part of it. We don't plan well our time and our resources, and therefore that causes stress, and it's almost like self-imposed stress, and we almost like feel like we lost the control of our life, but we want to take the control back, and then it's just this pool that's happening. So how do we become less stressful? What do we need to do as Christians to have less stress? I'm going to just share three things. Actually, I have a fourth thing I'm going to share as well. But the first one is very simple. And when I was reading this, I was like, well, the first part says, do not worry about anything. What does that mean? Well, for me, that means you need to pause. You need to pause. And you need to just put yourself in a moment, recalibrate, and that's what the pause is. The time of pause is a time of recalibration, where you sit there and you're actually able to recalibrate your mind. It's a time of slowing down, where you're realizing, you know what, when you say don't worry about anything, well, if there's too much going on, you may be just worried about too many things. But if you just stop and pause, whatever that looks like for you, you're able to recalibrate, reprogram your mind. Mark 6:31 says this, "Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.'" Even Jesus being busy, so busy and so overwhelmed with so many things happening around him, they didn't have time to eat, how busy he was. But Jesus realized we need to go to a quiet place and we need to get some rest. And Jesus was doing this over and over throughout his ministry. You can point out some scriptures where there was a chaos happening. Even at one point they came down and they were about to throw him off the cliff, and he just left and he just went to a quiet place to get some peace and quiet by himself. So Jesus learned to take a break. He stopped for a moment, become aware of all that's happening. And you know what? A big part of this, I think, also has to do with Sabbath. I don't know. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about Sabbath, but what Sabbath really represents is this rest that God created for us for our benefit. We look at God and creating the world in 6 days and taking the seventh day to rest to teach us a lesson that we as humans, we can't just be running around, hustling day in and day out and just forgetting about rest. Resting is a big part of what we may be missing to achieve the peace that we need. See, people today don't know how to rest. They don't know how to stop. They don't know how to take a break. They can't even sit still for a minute or 5 or 10 minutes without any distractions. We live in a crazy, crazy world. And I thought about this for a moment as well. Why is it that every time I go take a vacation and I go beside the ocean or whatever in nature and I just sit there, I'm actually able to really take in the beauty of God's creation and experience actually peace and rest? Because there's no distractions around me, and I'm actually able to bring myself to my mind to a place where there's this sound mind, knowing that there is God who loves me, God who has a plan for me, God who cares for me. And during this time of rest, we readjust and we recalibrate what's happening around us, our mind, and we also shift our focus on not on our problems, but shift our focus on God. And this is the question that I have for you. What if you turn your attention on God instead of focusing on the problem that's present at the moment? What if you just rest, you stop, you paused, and you shift your mind on God, on his faithfulness, on his goodness, on his plan over your life? What if you just make yourself aware of God's presence in that moment and say, God, I know you're here. You're with me. I'm not alone. The second thing that we do after pause is what I usually do, and this is the way I'm sharing some of the things that I'm doing for myself personally. In this first place, first point of pause is I also take that time to breathe, take deep breaths, and really just pause for a moment and focus my mind on God. And then the second thing is pray, is what the verse tells us. Pray says, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. So the prayer is this powerful way of reprogramming your mind, where you reprogram your thinking, your attitudes, your spirit. And oftentimes what prayer does for most people, it reminds us actually who is in charge here. It's not us. It's not you. It's God. in this time of prayer, what I usually do, I take time to declare. I take time to pray. I take time to tell God all the things that are going through my mind. I communicate what's on my mind. I tell him all the good. I tell him all the bad and the ugly. I tell him all the things that I'm upset about, things that are on my mind. I speak them out. I plant these seeds through prayer into a fruitful soil. And this is what the kicker, this is what the prayer, when it comes to prayer, this is where the kicker is. It's not only just me saying things, it's about me actually settling down and having God speak to me as well. Because prayer is a two-way street. It's not just me talking. It's actually sitting down, saying what I need to say, but then it includes a time of listening, where you're just sitting there and you're listening, what is it that God is trying to tell me and speak to me in this moment? And look at the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was just about to go get crucified. He prayed a prayer, and he was praying a prayer. We know the prayer that he prayed. He said, if it's possible for this cup to pass me. But it wasn't because of what Jesus prayed, but it was because of what God Father spoke to him that made all the difference in that moment. It was what God's will, what God's purpose was for his life, that he heard from God. We don't have those actually things recorded in Scripture, but it was what God spoke to him that brought conviction and peace. That whatever is to happen was his will. And it's what God speaks to us that changes us. It's not so much what we say to God. We can say all these things to God, and that's good that we utter them and we say them, we speak them out. But it is when God speaks to us, it changes everything. So we need to pause. We need to pray. And during this time of prayer, whatever that is, if it's for me, if it's for 5 or 10 minutes or whatever it is, we have this deep sense of God's presence, his hand upon us, and he's working in this moment. And the third thing that I usually do during this time when I'm trying to stress less is I need to proclaim, and that is found in this verse, Philippians 4:6 says, and thank him for all that he has done. Wow. There is power in gratitude. I'm not going to go, we spoke about gratitude multiple times, but gratitude and declaration that we speak, throw them out, they are powerful weapons against the enemy. There's such great importance of us speaking the words of gratitude. It shifts our focus from anxieties and stress to the blessings that we have around us. Sometimes we get in a situation where we get stressed and we forget about all the good things, and we focus on, we have hundreds of good things happening, going for us right now in our life, but we focus on one thing that's stressing us out the most. And we forget about those blessings. So during this time of declaration, we're openly being grateful. We are speaking the words of life over us, over our future. I often will take a verse, and like this morning I took a verse, and it was, just going to read it to you. It was actually really powerful because it kind of goes along with this. When I was reading the verse this morning, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and all this earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted. Declaring things like that and saying, taking the scripture and actually making it real, making it a reality in our own situation in the moment. When we declare, when we are grateful, we remind the enemy of all the things that God has said, all of his promises, all the things that God has said about who we are and who we belong to. We tend to forget about who we are and our identity when we go through a stressful and anxious situations in life. But as we go through this process of declaration, we set our mind free from anxieties and stresses of life, and we shift our focus above. And with all that being said, to end this with number four, is simply to press on. And with this, I added this last P, press on, because this is a continuous process in our life as we go forward. We are to pause, pray, and proclaim. Pause, pray, and proclaim. Every time when we encounter stress, Paul says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We need to press on with faith and courage and hope for tomorrow. You see, in a bigger picture, in a bigger picture of things, big grand scheme of things that we don't see, we don't understand, we know that God has a purpose, God has a plan, and He is actively involved in every situation in our life. In every single situation, whether it's small or big. And I love the story of Caleb and Joshua, and I'll just show you really quick. When Caleb and Joshua were about to go take a land, they wanted to go take a land, and there was Moses sent 12 spies to scout the land and see whether it's possible to go into the land. And 10 of them came back, and they were really fearful and stressed out and anxious because there was big giants in the land. They were there. But then Joshua and Caleb came back, and they detailed this. When they returned back, instead of sowing fear and despair and anxiety among the people, they spoke of the city that is being able to be overcome because of the confidence and the faith that they had in their Father, their God. They said, let us go up at once and take the possession, for we are able to overcome it because we have God on our side. And what I love about this story is this courage and faith that we all Christians have till the very end of our life. We never lose hope. We never lose courage. And we never lose faith, no matter what we go through. We look forward with hope. We look forward with purpose. We find peace. We know that we fight for peace. We need to fight for peace. What are the things that are worth fighting for in life? I believe, as Christians, for us, it's worth fighting for peace. Every day in our life, we need to have faith. We need to have this hope. We need to know that God is involved. We need to know that God is in charge. We need to know that God is there fighting our battles and that we will not be just left alone. And even though the future may look uncertain, for us having faith, just like Caleb and Joshua, is not optional. We're to press on because we know, like Apostle Paul says in those verses, I press on because I know that my God has a prize for me. And I'm going to I'm going to do everything that I can to live this life of faith and to do what God is calling me to do. So God wants you and me to live a life of wholeness, peace, not overwhelm, not stress and anxiety. Even though stress and anxiety are very real, they're really, really a big part of our life because we wake up, we live in this flesh. Peace comes to us from knowing that we can trust God. And how do we do that? Oftentimes, we need to pause, we need to pray, and we need to proclaim. There was a story about, heard this story multiple times, but I just want to share it because it just spoke to me in a new way. There was this popular violinist, Joshua Bell, back in 2007. He put himself in this bus station. He was a Grammy Award-winning violinist. He put himself in this busy, busy, crazy, anxious metro station, and he started playing a violin, and all of the people were just passing by and not paying attention to this beautiful music. What they didn't know is that that same night, he had a concert that was sold out in a big venue for $180 per ticket. And they were missing out on the most beautiful music as they were passing by, being busy and stressed out about everyday life. They missed out on what was right in front of them. God's presence, God's peace, God's plan, God's purpose, because they were so busy. I just want to encourage you this morning to not miss out on what God is doing in your midst, on what God is up to in your life. what His Spirit is doing right now in your moments of stress. And just be able to open up your heart, trust God, stress less, and know that He's in control. And always end with this question. And that's the question that I always, when I'm going through life and stressing out and things come at me, I ask myself a question. Is this really bigger than my God? Is this stress really something that is bigger than my God? Is this problem really something that my God can't deal with or can't solve or can't overcome? And almost every single time, the answer to that question is no. Well, not almost every single time. 100% of the times that I ask that question. So as we all stand this morning, Grace, I just want to take a moment and a little different today because I think we all need this. Obviously, we sang songs about my Father will provide. He knows what we need. I can trust in God, my Savior, the One. Yeah, come on, Grace. And we're going to have some prayer people come forward as well. I'm going to close in prayer, but I also want to allow an opportunity for you to come forward. As Grace is singing, I trust in God. Just come forward, and maybe there is, you don't have to spend a lot of time praying, but just if you have a stress, that's something that's really stressing you out, and you just want to release this morning and give it to God, I want you to come forward and just release it with these wonderful people here, because they represent God, they represent Jesus, and they represent a connection with Father. So Father, right now we thank You. For You are the giver of life. You're the giver of all the blessings. You're the giver of peace. We just speak peace right now over this place. Speak peace over every mind. And I pray, Father God, that You would just come right now, and as we pause and as we pray and as we reflect and proclaim of Your goodness and mercy and love, we thank You, Jesus, for everything You've done for us. We thank You for every good deed, for every provision, for every healing, for every time You come through for us, God. We thank You and we praise You. And I just pray right now as we close this service that we would just be able to carry on in this life, and that we would be able to carry on, that we would stress less, and that we would trust You more in every situation, in every circumstance, because You're in control and You are closely involved in our life. In Jesus' name I pray.